Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. So glad to have you with us here today for our Congregation at Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer. We come to you each day, and we read continuous readings from the Scripture, or approximately so. Sometimes we skip around a little bit. And right now we're in the book of Judges, so we're hearing about some of the famous judges in particular. Today we begin with Samson. So we'll hear Samson this week. We will take, not a break, but our daily prayer will be a little bit more brief than usual for the holiday. Of course, we'll resume next week, but I will be with you each day, just again, maybe with a little less catechesis. Okay, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, we say together our memory verse for this week. From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Our psalm this week is Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity, you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool, holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud, he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Our Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading today is from Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. There ends the reading. I'm struck by how well that corresponds to what you heard yesterday about the wise and foolish virgins, right? What is it to be wise, but to walk circumspectly, that is, in walk around, circle the wagons, if you like, redeeming the time because the days are evil, being considerate of your day, using your day wisely, all right, and understanding the will of the Lord. Good. All right, our reading for catechesis is from Judges chapter 13. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, Are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said to him, Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would have not accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. Nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahane Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. All right. So, catechesis there. You can see the text on your screen. Ask you a few questions. Obviously, this is like playing Jeopardy at home. You have to kind of just yell out at the screen and imagine I hear you. All right. You know how the story begins. The same as every story of these judges has begun. Verse 1. Yes, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And how did the Lord respond? Same way he always does. He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Who was Manoah? Yeah, that's a man from Zorah of the tribe of Dan, right? A Danite. And what are we told about his wife? Curious, right? Yeah, she was barren or sterile and remained childless. Name some other women in the scriptures that have this problem. Let's see if you can come up with all of them. Sarah, right? Rebecca, right? So Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel would be another one. Hannah is one, and also Elizabeth, right, in her old age. So that's six that I can think of. Anyway, who came to the wife of Manoah? Now he's named there, the angel of the Lord. And what did he say? Sounds familiar, right? You shall conceive and bear a son. Who else, of course, heard that message? Luke chapter 1. That's right, the Virgin Mary. Although here she receives some special instructions. What are those? See those in verse 4 and 5. Yeah, don't drink any wine or fermented drink, like vinegar. Don't eat anything unclean. All right. And no razor shall be used upon the child's head. And what would the boy be then? A Nazarite, he says, right? Verse 5. Nazarite set apart to God from the womb. There are three components to a Nazarite vow, and maybe you remember these. These were back in Numbers chapter 6, so it's been a little bit since we studied them. The three main requirements of the Nazarite vow are, Numbers 6, there we go. Whether either a man or a woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord. So this is like a lay order, if you like, a lay priesthood. He shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. So there you go, fermented drink or wine. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink, nor any grape juice or nor grapes, or eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is produced from the grapevine, from seed to skin. All right. And then verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled, which for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. All right, so that's another one. And he shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or mother, or for his brother or sister when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation shall be holy to the Lord. And so then there's more about instructions about corpses for him. This is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, present his offering, one male lamb in his first year without blemish as a burnt offering, a ewe lamb, etc., etc. He makes the sacrifice, and then the law is fulfilled, and the priest declares it fulfilled. All right. So those three main points are abstaining from wine or fermented drink, no razor upon his head, and not going near a dead body. That'll play out in our story. Not today, but soon. All right. What did God promise the woman that the child would do? Yeah, in verse 5 there, he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. What does she say to her husband, Manoah, about what the man had said, what this visitor had said? That it was a man of God. He looked like the angel of the God, but he didn't, of God, but did not tell her his name. He told her that she would conceive and bear a son, that he should be like a Nazarite with no drink of wine or strong drink and unclean food. She leaves out the bit about his hair. No razor shall be upon his head. That'll come back later too. What did Manoah pray to the Lord? Yeah, the Lord would send the man of God to teach him in particular how to raise up the boy. Doesn't seem to trust his wife. Okay. What did God do when he heard Manoah? Verse 9, he listened, right? And the angel of God came to the woman while her husband was not with her. Of course, what does this remind us of? This reminds us of the resurrection announcement, remember? When the angel came and told the women first, who then went and got the disciples and told them. That's, for example, Mark 16. What did the woman do when the angel of the Lord returned? She brought, see there, verse 10, yeah, she went and got her husband, right? What was Manoah's question? To the angel, he says, what will the boy's rule for his life be and his work, right? His rule and his life. Why was the woman alone told to be careful to observe these commands about the boy? You see in verse 13, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Why only the woman? Now we see this repeatedly with the barren women, especially that they are a picture of the mother of our Savior, Mary, who is the seed of the woman. The Savior is the seed of the woman, of course. All right, what did Manoah ask of the angel of the Lord? Yeah, stay a bit and we'll prepare a young goat for you. But the angel of the Lord responds, no, I'm not. You can detain me, but I'm not going to eat it. Instead, you should offer it as an offering, burnt offering to the Lord. And then what did Manoah not realize, of course, at this point? We know, because he keeps telling us, but yeah, that this is the angel of the Lord. All right, but then that prompts the question in verse 17. Manoah asks, yes, what is your name? What did the angel say his name is in verse 18? Why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful, right? You could capitalize that wonderful. His name is wonderful or beyond understanding. It's probably worth doing a little bit of a word study on that, I think, for some examples of what that word wonderful comes from. Of course, you know from Isaiah 9, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? Referring to Jesus, of the Messiah. But also it comes up in Psalm 77. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonderful or wonders of old, right? Your beyond understandings of old. Meditate on all your work. Also Exodus, we had it back in Exodus 15. This is Moses, the Song of Moses, after they are delivered through the Red Sea. He says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, wonderful, that is, doing wonders? Which is similar to what God had promised Moses in Exodus 3, right? That he would do wonders in their midst. All right. So just some examples, but of course, Isaiah 9 being the chief one of Jesus, the Messiah, and that's one of his names. Coincidental that the angel here claims the same name? Mm-hmm. No. So what did Manoah bring? He brought the young goat as a burnt offering and also with a grain offering, and he placed it again on a rock. We've heard this before, and what happened? As Manoah and his wife watched. Seen this as well before. That's right, the sacrifice is inflamed, and then here's unique, the angel of the Lord went up with the flame from the altar. Of course, this is similar to what we studied with Gideon, right? Where Gideon laid out his sacrifice upon the rock with the angel of the Lord, and it was consumed by fire, but that time with the staff, right? The staff of the angel. And surely Manoah knew that story. Because now he realizes, yes, that this was the angel of the Lord. And he confessed, rightfully so, we shall surely die because we have seen God. You see his angel, you've seen God. But what word of peace does Manoah's wife speak? Right? So she's the messenger of peace here. If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted our sacrifice, or he would have already done it. Yeah. All right. And then the boy's name is Samson. And notice who stirred Samson as he grew. The Spirit of the Lord, right? The Holy Spirit. All right, meditation on this text. God brought forth the deliverer from a woman who was sterile and without child. The word of the Lord brings forth life from the midst of death. Like Mary, the wife of Manoah clung to the word and believed what the angel of the Lord spoke to her. Then he spoke to Manoah as he did to Joseph. Her son was to be set apart for the deliverance of Israel, just as Jesus would come to save his people from their sins. Samson was to be set apart by grace, not because of his obedience. This angel's identity is revealed in the sacrifice of a young goat. For as Manoah's wife said, the angel does not desire to kill, but wishes to make alive. It was our Lord Jesus who would ascend in the fiery sacrifice of the cross as the burning anger of his Father consumed him. There he took our place, that we might not die, but live. As Isaiah says, his name is Wonderful, for he is the Son given to save us. The deliverance promised would happen according to the word of the Lord, even though Samson would not appear to be the best choice. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, but there was little outward evidence that this was so. All right. Let's catch a few things as we're going here. Our catechism for this week is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer and the first petition. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven. What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. First petition, hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. We pray. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism we became your dear children and you became our dear Father. You have given us every gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And for Jesus' sake have made to us many great and precious promises. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness, for clothing us with the righteousness of Christ, and for making us joint heirs with your Son of eternal life. Forgive us for doubting your tender love for us and for not trusting that we are your dear children in Jesus. Give us confidence in your word, boldness to call upon you in prayer for all our needs, and the joy of being your dearly loved and forgiven children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you hallow your name among us when your word is taught in its truth and purity, and we as your dear children also lead holy lives according to it. We give thanks to you for the gift of your word, for our pastors, parents, and others who teach it, and for holy lives of all your faithful Christians who live according to it. Forgive us for the many ways in which we profane your holy name among us by failing to teach your word in its truth and purity, to pray for our pastors and teachers, or to lead holy lives. Protect us from false doctrine and evil living. Help all who are called to teach and preach your word to do so with faithfulness, and grant us to receive your word rightly, that our lives may be made holy by it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On this Monday, we pray for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for all vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. Pray for our first responders, doctors, nurses, and all those who work in nursing homes and hospitals. We pray for an end to all fear, anxious thoughts, and constant worry. We pray for deliverance from all authoritarian, tyrannical, and dictatorial rule, those who would restrict or censor our faith, as well as our rights to speech, press, assembly, and protest. Pray for our military and law enforcement personnel. We pray for those who celebrated yesterday their birthday, Haley, Betty, who today celebrates her baptism, Willis and Janice, who today celebrates 70 years of marriage. Thanks be to God for that. We also pray for those who are ill, recovering, or undergoing treatment. Marcella, Jan, Kelsey, Ron, Marlene, Brad, Janet, and Timothy, Susan and Ken, Pastor Lindau, Sandy, Linda, Joan, and Ken, Roger, and our teacher, Penny. Pray for those who are homebound, Bev, David, Willis, and Janice, and Mickey. Pray for our mission of the month, Becca DeLoach, and also the work of Sheboygan County Hispanic Outreach. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray the collect for this week. O Lord, absolve your people from their offenses, that from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our frailty we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your bountiful goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today has a commemoration. It is Clement of Rome, pastor. Clement, from AD 35 to AD 100, is remembered for having established the pattern of apostolic authority that governed the Christian church during the first and second centuries. He also insisted on keeping Christ at the center of the church's worship and outreach. In a letter to the church, Christians at Corinth, he has emphasized the centrality of Jesus' death and resurrection. Quote, "Let us fix our eyes on the blood of Christ, realizing how precious it is to his Father, since it was poured out for our salvation and brought the grace of repentance to the whole world." That's again from his first epistle, Clement, chapter 6, verse 31. Prior to suffering a martyr's death by drowning, Clement displayed a steadfast, Christ-like love for God's redeemed people, serving as an inspiration to future generations to continue to build the church on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, with Christ as the one and only cornerstone. We pray. Almighty God, your servant Clement of Rome called the church in Corinth to repentance and faith, to unite them in Christian love. Grant that your church may be anchored in your truth by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and kept blameless in your service until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right. Excellent hymn. Many excellent hymns that would have fit yesterday. This was one that we sang during distribution. The goal here is to memorize the first stanza this week. So if you can go about your day singing it throughout the week, you'll be ready to go when the bridegroom comes.
The bridegroom soon will call us, come to the wedding feast. May slumber not befall us, nor watchfulness decrease. May all our lamps be burning with oil enough and more, that we with him returning may find the open door.
I think in the interest of time, we'll just end it there. Maybe later this week, we'll sing the rest of it. You're free to do that on your own. Hopefully you heard the, or maybe you don't recognize it, but that's the influence of famous Lutheran composer, musician, Michael Pretorius. Who took the tune and arranged it here. And he loves to turn tunes into these lively dances. One of my favorite recordings, for any number of reasons, both sonically, but also just the performance of it, is a recording of, I can't remember the ensemble, but it's called the Mass for Christmas Morning. And it's a recreation of what it would be like to have been at Michael Pretorius' congregation in 1624 or something like that. It's really a brilliant recording. Maybe I'll throw it in the link. Well, It's hard to throw a link because it depends on what music service you use, streaming music. But Mass for Christmas Morning, Michael Pretorius, look it up. It's a really, I mean, I know it's not Christmas time, but whatever. People listen to Christmas music already. Listen to it. I always say it's McCreesh is the composer, is the conductor in your library. There we go. Ah, yes. It's the Gabrielli Consort and Players. Paul McCreesh, McCreesh. And it's called the Mass for Christmas Morning, or Mass for Christmas Morning. Really a lovely album from Archive Records. So check it out, Gabrielli Consort, Michael Pretorius. You'll get a lot of that same kind of musical character, but specific to Christmas. All right. Lord be with you all, and we'll see you again tomorrow morning for our Congregation of Prayer.